The views expressed are not necessarily those of KSCJ and Powell Broadcasting Company. This program is not intended to replace the advice of doctors or other clinical providers. Consult with your practitioner to ensure the proper course of action for you.
Welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well on AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ. This program is dedicated to your mental health wellness and brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency. Here's your host, Art Silva.
Good morning, Siouxland, and welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well. This show is all about your mental wellness and how you can help yourself navigate the daily highway of life. We hope to educate and motivate you to improve your mental wellness environment. I'm Art Silva, and our show is brought to you by Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, the United Way partner agency serving the Siouxland community since 1894. Let me introduce my co-host, Brenda Geisinger, Chief Operating Officer of Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Brenda, how are you living?
I am doing great. How about you, sir?
I tell you, just getting excited about today's show. We're going to learn a lot. And so would you want to introduce our guest and topic, please?
Absolutely. So today we have with us Rachel Lindgren from Siouxland Cares and also Joanne Gieselman from Growing Community Connections. And, you know, some people might get bored with data, but these two are the experts, and it's really a keystone in understanding what's going on, where can we get resources, and all the great work that's being out there to help our community thrive. So welcome, and if you want to just kind of jump in and tell us a little bit about yourself, Rachel, I'll let you go first.
Thank you for having me. As you mentioned, my name is Rachel Lundgren, and I work with Siouxland Cares, which is a prevention agency here in Siouxland. What we're really going to talk about today is our work with Source for Siouxland, which Siouxland Cares does partner to do the data collection for.
And Joanne?
Thank you. I'm Joanne Gieselman with Growing Community Connections. And really, we know that that collaboration piece that you just talked about, Rachel, is so huge, even with the data involved, and really building bridges and bringing partners together, because if we share those resources, it makes a world of difference for us.
Well, this is going to be an exciting show, and we're going to be practice our listening skills. I know you have a lot of information to share with us. You know, let's go back a little bit to the Source for Siouxland. This is nothing new. This has been going on for a while. And I think just recently, in the last few years, it's really come up with some stunning data about this community. You want to give me a little background on the Source for Siouxland? Who's involved in that?
Sure. So originally in the community, it was known as Comprehensive Strategy. And that actually started back in 1996. And so we have quite a few people who are still involved in Source for Siouxland who were involved since the beginning with Comprehensive Strategy. A few years ago, we did move from being more focused on juvenile data to having five bucket areas that cover all different aspects of life in Siouxland. So we are kind of a collaborative of multiple organizations that provide leadership and then many organizations that also participate in looking at the data and identifying gaps.
That's super. And then we get all that information. We're going to hear about what came out of that today. So let's go over some of the areas that the Source from Siouxland study covered.
So Source for Siouxland covers five different areas. We have economic stability, education, health, safety, and quality of life. And as you can imagine, they overlap in lots of different ways.
Great. So let's take them apart one by one. Let's talk about the education piece. What did it show? Highlight what it showed in the education piece.
One thing we were really excited about is in the Siouxland area, we saw great high school graduation rates. They've increased in a couple areas, and they're great compared to national rates.
Great.
So that's a great area of strength. One area we really want to focus on is kindergarten readiness. The data that we have for that is from the Sioux City schools. Although it's remained stable since last time, it's still a little bit lower. It's about 36 to 37% identified as kindergarten readiness. And we already do have some programs starting like Prime Age to Engage and lots of other organizations working on addressing that issue in the community.
That's exciting. We know how important it is to get to the children early. And I think that's a wonderful program. Plus, it has been identified. So that's considered a good strategy. So that's good. You also mentioned health. What are some of the key points that you can share with us on the health environment?
One thing that we've been looking at the past couple of years is drug-exposed infants in Siouxland. We were happy this year to see a slight decrease in drug-exposed infants. Unfortunately, so far this year, with the data we've collected, we are back on track to have an increase again. So that would be only including illicit substances, not including alcohol and tobacco. So we don't have great information about that, but we do have good information about marijuana, meth, and other drug exposure with young infants.
Is this something that you're seeing nationally also?
Yes, it is an increase nationally, but it does seem to be particularly high in the Siouxland area, especially with marijuana exposure. So that's something that multiple organizations are also trying to work around to see how we can get information to pregnant people.
Just keeping up with the times, huh? But I'll tell you, that's really good. One more question before we go to our reintro. What's the data tell us about safety? We have seen at Boys and Girls Home, looking at the surveys that are coming out, that young people now are more concerned about safety going out to a movie, going out to school even, and this was never tracked before. So what can you tell us about safety in our community?
In terms of data, we probably don't have as much data that's focused on some of the things that youth are concerned about, such as the gun violence in the area. The areas that we've looked at more are such as a higher increase in meth in the community, but we do know that having greater drug exposure and other involvement in that type of activity does increase risk in things such as drug exposure, or such as such as gun violence. One thing we also have been looking at in terms of safety is vehicle safety, and that is something actually that's remained pretty stable in the community with vehicle accidents.
Well, that's good. I'm Art Silver along with Brenda Geisinger, and our guests today are Joanne Gieselman and Rachel Lundgren, and you're listening to When Things Aren't Going Well. Let's continue our discussion on the Siouxland Well-Being Report. So let me come back and ask you a question here on one of the other topics that we were discussing, and that would be the economic stability. There seems to be a lot of agencies, a lot of groups in town understanding the importance of that and in doing things. So, Rachel, what do they find on economic stability in Siouxland?
Economic stability, when you look at our little charts that we have, does show that it's the strongest area of our five. However, we need to look at some nuance within it. So we have seen an increase in median household income, which is good. However, that does not take into account inflation and other things. Two areas that I think we really need to pay attention to, even though it looks strong, is the increase in severe housing cost burden. So that is individuals who pay more than 50% of their income for their housing expenses. And that has increased to 11% in Siouxland. So one in nine individuals pays more than 50% of their income for their housing, which to me is concerning. And then also there's been an increase in Woodbury County in income inequality. So they look at the individuals at the 80th percentile, how much money they make, and then the individuals at the 20th percentile. And there's a bigger gap there now than there has been in the past.
Okay, so we've got some good problems identified that we can go out and provide some solutions to down the road. Okay, we've talked about those areas. How does this equate to our overall quality of life?
I think that bucket is the hardest one that we have to put together because, as you said, those other buckets really contribute toward it. One area that we measure that I think is really important is the social connectedness. Honestly, the data, I don't think captures everything because it has to be organizations that record their memberships that report it. However, we have seen a decrease, and that data actually came from before the pandemic, the most recent data. So I think when we look at the different struggles that we've had with health-wise, within the community, and with COVID limiting individuals' connectedness, that we're only going to see that have more of a decrease. So I think in quality of life, when we're looking at it, we're going to see how can we get people connected with each other again. And when we connect with each other, it'll actually help the other buckets as well.
Oh, Rachel, I'm so happy to hear that. We talked about Reconnect on one of our shows and how we got so used to just texting. We like to see, recommend that once a month you identify somebody that you haven't seen. Don't call them, don't text them, go visit them. Have a cup of coffee, get that eye contact going again. We've been separated, so I love what you're saying on Reconnect, and I think that's something that I think a lot of people don't realize that we have to do this, but yeah, it brings us back to our strength. So this is all good stuff, and we're coming up on our break right now, so everybody continue your morning chill. We'll be right back with more When Things Aren't Going Well right here on 1360 AM, 90.9 FM, KSCJ.
Let's face it.
That happens to all of us. However, the pandemic has compounded all of our lives and activities. Even the simplest tasks seem harder. Hi, I'm Brenda Geisinger, the Chief Operating Officer at the Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Family Services is a United Way partner agency serving children and families of our community, and we're here to help. If you'd like to learn more about Family Services, please contact us via email, website, Facebook, or phone Mary Pickens. At Family Services, we change lives.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well on KSCJ. Here's Art Silva.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well. I'm Art Silva along with Brenda Geisinger and our guests Joanne Gieselman and Rachel Lungen, and we're discussing the Siouxland Wellbeing Report. Ladies, there's a lot of information here. How do we use it? Joanne, you have a great agency in growing community connections. Your agency works collaboratively with many nonprofits in Siouxland. As a result of your collaboration, you have compiled a list of resources that Siouxlanders can go to for help. I'm going to give you some time. I want you to tell us about GCC and how GCC can help our citizens.
Thank you, Art. And to all your wonderful staff who support collaboration in our communities. Growing Community Connections is a tri-state collaboration supporting Siouxland with over 800 partners. I look forward to sharing many great happenings around our tri-state area. Today, I'm going to focus on Nebraska because there is currently a great opportunity to help Nebraska renters who may be struggling. If you or someone you know rents in Nebraska and are financially impacted due to the current challenges that may have been caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, like the cost of rent has gone up or the high cost of food prices, as a couple examples, you may be eligible to receive rent or utility assistance from the Nebraska Emergency Rental Assistance Program. To be eligible, you must meet certain income requirements, and either a renter or a landlord can begin the application, but you have to apply together. There's lots of great information on the ERA site, so go to it, check it out, go to NebraskaRentHelp.org, or reach out through the GCC website under Community Response, or you can call 712-389-4401. And Art, along with the Nebraska Rental Assistance opportunity, I want to invite your listeners to join Growing Community Connections on Zoom at our big GCC meetings on the second Thursday of every month to hear about the many resources available to our communities. This month, we heard from Mary J. Trillia on newcomers to our community, as well as health information from Siouxland Cares, Siouxland District Health, and the Mercy One Advocacy Center. We also updated information on our community resource guide that you mentioned being so important for the community. If you'd like to be a part of our meetings, please reach out to me at jgieselman, that's J-G-I-E-S-E-L-M-A-N, at siouxlandship.org. Well, I'll wrap it up today. I look forward to sharing all kinds of collaboration and connection opportunities across our tri-state area. Thank you for this time, Art, and now back to you.
Well, thank you, Joanne. And boy, not only is it informative, it's uplifting when you come up and say things. You just kind of get a little buzz going here. But you've done a wonderful job. And what we can do is bring people together. There's information out there. How do we share that information that there's help? And that Nebraska rent assistance, that's going to be absolutely fantastic as people make a transition and come over here and might need some help, temporary help. There's a lot of opportunity out there, and I love what you do with your agency. Now, when she said she had 100 people on her community meeting, she ain't kidding. There's a lot of people that like what's going on with Growing Community Connections. And as Joanne said, the second Thursday of every month, Zoom in, come online, and you listen. You hear what people are doing, what's saying. You'll learn stuff that you didn't know was going on, and it's all good. So, Joanne, we want you to continue that great work. I know we look at you as a catalyst of getting that information, and you share it so generously. So it's a big help for us. I just want to thank you. You've been doing this for a while, and your enthusiasm is contagious.
Well, thank you so much, Art. And it's so much fun. I get to work with the best people in the whole community every day, just like you and your organization, as well as all the many organizations like Rachel's and so many others. So it's just a joy to do this every day.
What I love about Rachel is Rachel's going to break the age barrier in this room.
Yes, you know? She is.
Rachel probably knows how to use all these little tools and computer stuff and stuff like that. But Rachel, glad to have you here. And one thing we're looking at with the younger people is their mental health. It can be very challenging. It's a stressful time for a lot of young folks coming in. And was there anything that you want to comment on that may have been in the report or your personal viewpoint?
Yes, I think one thing that I wanted to make sure people know when they look at the report is mental health looks like it's in the green, and that's because that compares us to everyone across the country, and mental health is a serious issue for everyone across the world, actually. We lead the Mayor's Youth Commission, and they always pick their key issues in the past couple of years, and mental health each year. It's something the youth are concerned about, something that they've had to deal with in a different way with the pandemic. And I think it's something we need to continue to work on in the community.
Well, I know, Brenda, we started working on the stigma a few years ago, at least working on getting rid of the stigma. Do you want to talk about any improvements you've seen there?
I think it's getting more recognized that mental health is a real thing and that there is help out there if you're struggling with your mental health and how to improve it, get those resources. And it's okay to talk about it. And I think that's very exciting that it's being acknowledged that it's real and people are not afraid to mention, I am struggling, I'm not okay. And now to take that next step and actually reach out and get the help that people need, I think that is exciting that people are aware and know there are resources. And I think the more we talk about it, the more open people are to expressing what's going on with their thoughts and feelings and how to get the help they need.
I'll tell you, it's been very encouraging to see that people were willing to talk about it more so, and more people coming forward, celebrities, other people coming forward and saying, I got a problem. And you're right, Brenda, it's okay. We all are going to have these days. I like to factor in how many mental health days you need a year from work. You don't have to call and say, I'm not feeling well. Right. It's really just need a day off. You need to recharge. You get that work-life balance in place because that's so important. So we're at a crossroads, but I think it's a good crossroads. We're working on, and we have donors investing in our new facility. Heartland Counseling has a beautiful new facility. Catholic Charities does a great job, steady job, always there. So there's no reason not to get help, but just go and tell somebody, hey, I'm a little out of sorts. I'm not feeling well. Go to a friend, but please don't sit down and bottle it up and be miserable because you have a lot to offer. You have an awful lot to offer. Don't think about yesterday. Think about where we're going tomorrow. And there's a lot of people that share that enthusiasm on you. So don't look at all the bad stuff and read all the bad stuff or listen, focus on all the bad stuff. Let's focus on the good stuff going on in our community. We live in a great place in this country. And citizens getting involved. You want to volunteer? This is the easiest place to volunteer in Siouxland. People are always looking for help. So that's the first step to our success. Getting involved, using the resources we have, get yourself better, and we got a first-class team that we're going to play ball with. And I'm just really glad to be here. And I like the way things are going in this community. Everybody's going to have some problems and issues, but overall, I think we have a community and that's well-represented and people that want to help those in need. It was something I learned on the homelessness deal. We haven't talked about that, but that's critical. And interesting stat that a lot of the people that are homeless because they lost their homes. When we went through the economic crisis during COVID, they lost their home. So then there's need out there. And that's something that was unexpected, came on, and they're good people. So I think we're going to have to address this homeless situation. Personally, I have my own viewpoint on it. I'd like to see services for these people. If we had them in a certain, if we had them where we collect them and put in mental health services, job training services, things that help improve them, not let them stay static and the next day you're doing Groundhog Day, you're back on the street again. What can we do to help these people? I think it's a great challenge, but I think it needs to be approached comprehensively and not in silos. It's too big a problem. And I just saw where the governor of California just allocated a ton of money to get help the homeless situation and get them in homes. It's everywhere, compounded by the migrant situation on the East Coast, economic situation, other places in the country. We have to give homelessness a softer ear. Not be so critical in judgment that these are people that just don't want to work. These are people that have some need. And families are growing in that number. You're not just seeing individuals, you're seeing families going into this need in a homeless deal. So I think we'll deal with this also because we're just a great community. Anything you want to say before we close our show off, Rachel or Joanne?
I was just going to add, with the homelessness as you discussed, we did see in the data an increase, as you said, with families who came in this year during the, they do a one point in count time, and there were an increase in families this year.
And I just wanted to add under to the mental health part that we do have what we call a mental health roundtable, which is led by Jennifer Jackson and Amy Block. And they do a great job of really getting that information out and helping people realize that it is something, just like you said, it's something to talk about, and it's okay.
Yes, and it's okay to help. It's okay to help. Well, I'll tell you, we're coming up on the end of our show. And every week we try to end our show with a little joke. Humor is good for the soul. So here we go. My uncle named his two dogs Timex and Rolex. They're his watchdogs. I want to thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Joanne and Brenda. And thanks to our listening audience. I appreciate the going to give a shout out today. You know, we've been dealing with families this year. And I want to point out a great family. They have a business in town. But I want to shout out the Ferris family, Dave and Sue. They define family. Longstanding Siouxland institution with the best chicken in the area. As a matter of fact, I feel like chicken tonight. So listen, give Sneakers a call. They're great people, the Ferris family, family of the week. Don't forget to visit the Stuff Fistique, located at the former Indian Hill Shopping Plaza, the new home of the Jeannie Peterson Behavioral Health Campus. Boys and Girls Home and Family Services hiring teachers and therapists. Call our HR manager at 293-4700. When Things Aren't Going Well, we'll return next Saturday a.m. right here on 1360 a.m., 90.9 FM, KSCJ. Your homework? Go out and have a good laugh. Be kind to your mind.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you, till we meet again.
For more information on the services provided by Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, see them online at boysandgirlshomeiowa.org, or you can call 712-293-4700. To get more information about family services, residential treatment, the Opportunity School, the Siouxland Family Center, and more. At Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, we change lives.